Last week, I started a sort of a series calling it A Year of Grace. 2010, A Year of Grace. And I just had this impression in my heart, which I shared last week, that end of last year, I felt God telling me that this year is going to be a year of grace. And so I started to share a little bit about that. What does it mean? What does it mean to a year of grace? And how do we access that grace? And so I'm just going to quickly recap for those who weren't here last week. But grace defined. What is grace? Grace is God's undeserved goodness. His favor shining upon us. Grace is not really a word to describe it. It's sort of a pukkie woord in Afrikaans. It sort of encapsulates lots of concepts, but it speaks of God's favor, His blessing, His goodness, His face shining upon us. It's like grace is like having God's presence in your life. That's grace. And the very concept of grace is that it's a gift that you cannot earn. You cannot work for it. There's not a price that you and I can pay to earn grace. The very concept of grace, it's a gift. Okay, so that's very important to understand that it's a gift. And in Acts 4:32, it says, "Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Great grace. Great grace upon them all. Okay, so that's when the grace of God comes upon a group of people in the church of Acts, the church at the beginning, it was upon everybody. Every person had grace. Not just the super spiritual, the special ones. Everybody had grace. Can you say that all? All. Okay, just making sure that you're still there. Okay, all. Great grace was upon them all. And then last week I shared this. If you want grace, you see, grace, you only find it in certain places. Or there's like a doorway. There's like an access point through which you and I receive grace. And that grace, that door to grace, is a promise. Okay, I shared that last week. A promise. And I shared about no woman, no cry, which is really wrong and off. It's wrong. It's not of the Lord, that song. But it illustrates a point. No promise, no grace. Okay. So you need a promise before you can have grace. Okay. And I love my wife. We've got a wonderful marriage. There are no issues. Don't worry. Okay. But a promise is the doorway, the access point to grace. So if God says to us, if you want grace, but you don't have a promise, you can't actually access that grace. You need a promise. And the promise is found in Scripture. The promise can be a very specific word that you feel in your heart God is speaking to you, which can never contradict Scripture, but always concur with Scripture. But the Lord can speak to you. And that promise is the doorway. So then you come to your doorway and you park in front of your doorway. You have the promise, grace. You come and stand before your door and you continue to knock. And you hold the promise that God has given you before Him day and night. It carries you through the storms. When you're going through the valley, if you have a promise that says it's going to be okay, you can hold on, you're going to make it, this grace. But you need to have a promise. So do you have a promise for the year? Do you have a promise for your work? Do you have a promise for your relationships or your marriage? Do you have a promise? If you don't have a promise, you can't access the grace. Because you must come to God and say, God, but you said, you gave me a promise. Open the door. Give me your blessing. Give me your goodness. Give me. That's how I live my life. If I didn't have the promises of God, my wheels would come off every second day. But if I hold on to the promises, I am strong, I'm full of faith, and I receive grace to stand. Okay, so the door to grace is a promise. And then in Genesis 12, verse 2 to 3, this is where Abram speaks, or God speaks to Abram. He gives him a promise. Now, Abram had no relationship with God before that. And out of the blue, God appeared to him, and God spoke to him and said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families. So that's a promise. So Abram had this promise from God. And so he could receive grace. He could remind God, God, you said you're going to bless me. God, you said this. And so the promise is the access point. Seek the promise. Seek the promise and you will find grace. This is very important. And then in Genesis 15, verse 1. Now, this is a little bit later in Abram's life. Maybe to give you some background before we go there. I'm going to share a little bit with you about some amazing mysteries. The more I read the scriptures, the more I find that the Old Testament is mind-boggling. I mean, the scriptures, you know, some people say, prove to me that there is a God. Go read and go find the unbelievable truths that are found within it. It actually proves itself. It's a self-proving miraculous book. If you compare the Old Testament prophecies with the New Testament, what actually happened? God said, I will do, and then history tells us he did. No other religion in the world has that. No other religion in the world has that. And that's what's so amazing. I'm going to share you a few other things about Jesus tonight, which really sets Christianity apart, sets the Bible apart from any other faith in the world. And this blesses me, you know. It blesses me when you say, God, I'm laying down my life for something that is the truth. Anybody here that wants to lay down his life for a lie? No. Do you want to come to church on Sunday and listen to lots of stories and it's not the truth? It's nice ideas. No, I don't want to do that. I want to believe the truth. So I'm going to show you a few things that I'm not going to go into details. Come to the Perspective Seminar if you want details about it. But I share a bit about the prophecies. But it's mind-boggling what God has put in His Word. Okay, so I'm trusting you're going to, it's going to bless you. And I'm going to lay a foundation tonight for next week. So I'm going to teach a little bit more than I normally do. Okay, Genesis 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. So here God appears to Abram, and he speaks to him, and he says to him, do not be afraid. Now we're standing at the beginning of the year, and many of us are probably afraid of what's coming this year. And I believe God is telling us, do not be afraid. I'm going to show you as we go on why you needn't be afraid, why you can trust God. So God is coming to Abram saying, Abram, trust me. Trust me. And then he says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield. He speaks to Abram. He gives him this, his word. He says, Abram, I am your shield. Every onslaught that comes against you, I'm going to stand in between. I'm going to stand between you and the onslaught. And I am your reward, Abram. I am everything you could possibly want. I am the one. I am your provision. I am your reward. On Monday, we were praying. On Monday evenings, we pray. And I just felt this word in my heart. I just felt God saying to me, and I believe to us, trust in me with all your heart, and I will do great things in your midst. And I felt God saying that He will do that as in now. I am ready to move. Simply trust. Now is the time. Now is the time. And so often we think revival in the future. But revival is now, if we would trust with our whole heart. But we struggle. We're like Abram. We're afraid. We struggle to trust. And so God must come and tell us, don't be afraid. I am your shield. I am your reward. Don't worry. Don't worry. But now is the time. God is really wanting to do something in our midst. Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6, just a little bit further in that chapter. Now, God has spoken to Abram and said, I am your shield. I am your reward. And now he takes it further. Where now God and Abram speaks. Abram has no children. He has no inheritance or a son to give everything over his name. And yet God has said, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to multiply you. And so he and God is speaking. And Abram says, God, I don't have a son. I don't have it, God. I hear your promise, but if I'm looking at home, there's nothing happening. No pun intended there or anything. Genesis 15, verse 5 to 6. Then, now look at this. Now God is like speaking to Abram and saying, okay, Abram, come. Get out of your tent. Come walk with me. Walk with me. I want to show you something. I want you to see what I am seeing. And then it says in verse 5, then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So God was trying to get Abram on his wavelength. And I believe this is the same with most of us. God says he wants to multiply us. We think one or two, maybe three, if we're lucky. And God says, no, Abram, look up to the stars. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I want to do. And that's what the promises of God does. It gives us a new context, a new understanding of what is God actually meaning. See if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And this amazing bit. And he believed. Can you say believed? And he believed in the Lord. And he accounted him for righteousness. Now think about this. He didn't have the Bible like you and I have. He didn't have lots of books and lots of preachers and guys telling us the goodness of God. Or he just sort of been walking with God for these few years. And then God speaks to him and he just takes him on his word and says, okay, God, I believe. I believe. I believe that God, that blessed God's heart. But do we do the same when the word of God comes? Do we believe it? Do we truly embrace it? Do we hold on to the promise with all our heart? Or are we a little bit cynical and say, ah, it's not going to work? But this blessed God, Abraham, his faith blessed God. And then in Genesis 15, verse 8. Now Abram asked God, okay, Lord, but give me a sign, in a sense. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Lord, I have your promise, but give me something. Give me something that will strengthen my faith. Something that will prove to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that this will happen. And then God did an amazing thing. They cut a covenant. What is covenant? Covenant is the most important oath you could possibly make in your life. It's an unbreakable oath. They cut covenant. I'm going to explain to you how that works. So I'm going to go a little bit around the topic and give you a bit of flesh there. Hebrews 10, verse 16 to 17 speaks of a New Testament covenant. I'm going to show you now an Old Testament covenant. Old Testament actually means old covenant. New Testament actually means new covenant. Okay, now just stay with me. I'm going to explain as I go. In Hebrews 10, 16 to 17, this is written in the New Testament about what was written in the Old Testament of prophesying of what would happen in the days of Jesus. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds I will write them. And then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, when this was written, say in Isaiah or Jeremiah, I'm not sure where, but say about 600 before Christ, when the promise was given, was the fulfillment immediate? Was that true right thereafter? Was that true? I will remember their sins no more? Or did the fulfillment only come later? Option A or option B? Everybody for option A, please raise your hand. Everyone for option B, please raise your hand. B. Great, wonderful. Okay, no trick question there. But the Lord gave a promise, but the promise needed something else as well. He made the oath, but something had to be added. So, let me explain. You have the door. There's the promise. I'm going to give you grace. But the door is locked. The door is closed. You have no access to the promise. So you can stand there and knock and knock and knock. But something has to happen for that door to open. I believe that that one thing that opens the door is the blood. And I'm going to explain. Blood. Specifically the blood of Christ. But in the Old Testament there are blood offerings. I believe that our access to the grace of God is through the blood of Christ. I'm going to explain. We access the grace of God by the blood. The door is opened by the blood. But you have to apply it. When we came here about 3 years ago, as a group of students and others, to come and pray for starting this church, The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and just told me the foundation is the blood. The foundation is the blood. The foundation of this church. The foundation of anything that God does. Any promise to be fulfilled, it must come through the blood. It is accessed through the blood. It is accessed through the blood. And this is really critical, so I'm going to explain as we go. But to believe God's promise is to see that promise as a done deal. I shared this last week. How do you know that the promise is fulfilled? Now, God answered Abraham. I'm going to explain that to you now. Why can we trust in God? Why can we trust in the promise? Because of the blood. We can trust the one who has promised because he has sealed the promise with his own blood. But it started in Genesis 15, verses 9 to 11. It started about 2000 BC. That's where God started to prophesy that the blood is going to come. So Abram asked the question, Lord, how shall I know that this will be? How shall I know that this will be? Now look at what God answers him. In verses 9 to 11. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, that's sort of a cow, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the two birds in two. And I'm thinking, what? This is cow cutting. What is this? What has this got to do with anything? This, in that time, symbolized a covenant. If you and I were like best buddies or something, or we meet one another and we, our hearts are connected, and we want to say, I'm committing my life to you forever. That's what they cut covenant. They had it, made a treaty. And what would happen is they would take, okay, there's a few things that happens. To make a covenant, to cut a covenant. I'm going to paint you a picture. Say you and I wanted to cut a covenant. There's a few things that would happen. Number one, I would take off my coat or my robe and give it to you. And you would take off your coat or your robe and give it to me. And that would symbolize all of my life I'm giving to you. My robe, my coat symbolizes everything I am, and I am giving it to you. All of myself, my total being and my life, I pledge to you in an oath. Now that's the first step of a covenant. Now think about this. This is what God is doing with Abram. This is what God is doing. He's saying, Abram, all of myself, I'm committing to you. My whole life, I'm cutting covenant with you, Abram. I've given you the promise, but now I'm making an oath and I'm proving it with blood. I'm proving it with blood. This is how serious I feel about this. The second thing you would do is you would take off your belt and give it to the other person. The belt would represent your sword would be connected there and your weapons and things. So that would represent your strength. That would represent your weapons, your army. Symbolically, you are saying, I'm giving you all my strength, all my ability to fight. You're saying, from this day onwards, Abram, anybody that fights with you, fights with me. They're not just fighting with you. This is not my fight. This is my fight. They touch you, they touch me. There's a guy, Stanley, this missionary guy that went up in Africa. Anyway, so the Stanley guy, about 200 years ago, he cut covenant with all the tribes that he met on the way. And he had made a scar for each one. That's part of the process of cutting a covenant. There would be a scar. And when he came to the middle of Africa, when a tribe would approach him, he would hold up the scars. And they would see like 20 or 30 or 40 scars, symbolizing, saying, if you mess with me, you're messing with another 30 other tribes. Don't mess with me. I'm not alone. Okay, that's covenant. That's covenant. Now you must think about this. I'm going to pull it through to Jesus. This is profound things if you think about it. So taking off the belt. So God spoke to Abram with a coat thing. He said, Abram, I am your reward. And with the belt thing, he said, I am your shield. Okay, stay with me. I am your shield. So he's going through this process of cutting a covenant. And then in verse 11, it says, now he's cut the ox or the cow in two pieces and all the other animals and things. And now it says, and when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. So he said, shoo, shoo. Vultures trying to get to the pieces of meat. And in verse 12, it says, now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. A deep sleep fell upon Abram. And then the cutting of the covenant happened. How it worked was, if you and I were cutting covenant, the one piece of meat would be there, one piece of meat would be there. We'd be standing back to back, and then we'd be walking in an eight figure around these pieces of meat and come back facing one another. But now this fascinating thing is happening. God is cutting covenant with Abram, but he's asleep. Abram tried to help. He tried to shoo the vulture away, and God decided, Abram, please just sleep. Get out of the way. You're going to mess this up. So he slept. But there were two people walking the figure eight just thereafter in the scriptures. Look at this. Genesis 15, verses 17 to 18. It says, and it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. Now, those symbolize God the Father and Jesus Christ. There are other scriptures in the Bible that speaks of God the Father as the furnace and Jesus as the burning torch. So this is an amazing thing that's happening. God is cutting covenant with Abram, but Abram is not cutting covenant. God is cutting covenant with himself. It's like God said, Abram, I'm sorry. I made my oath and you want your proof, but you cannot cut covenant with me. You are not on my level. I mean, there's no way for God to cut covenant with a man that is as sinful as he is, or any human being. So God made a plan. The promise was given to Abram. A covenant was made where God said, I commit myself irrevocably that I'm going to fulfill my promise. If you walk through those pieces, do you know what that means? It means two things. The first thing is, It means we are dying to ourselves, giving up our own life, and beginning a new walk with our covenant partner unto death. That's what God was saying, I'm laying down my life for you. And then the next bit was, if I break this covenant, then may the same be done to me as to these animals. So God was saying, Abram, if I break my promise to you, which I am cutting with blood, if I break my promise, may I be cut into two like these animals. That's how strongly I feel about my promise. And he might think, but what is all of this? You're going to see it. This is beautiful. This is absolutely amazing. Verse 18, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram. And he says, I'm going to give your descendants, I'm going to give all of this to you. A few points here. Number one, God is too good for us to cut covenant with us. He is too good for us to come on his level. So he had to make a oath to himself. It was like Jesus was sitting in heaven and he was thinking, there's no one. There's no one that can take Abram's place. There's no one that can fulfill this covenant. There's no one that can come on the level of God and appropriate all the promises of God, meaning all my strength is yours. All that I am is yours. There's no one to give all of God to. And so Jesus said, Father, I will. I will stand in on behalf of all of mankind because they're not cutting, they're not able, they're not good enough, but I am. And I'm going to stand, Father, and cut covenant with you on their behalf. And I commit to lay down my life for them. And I commit to take all their debts, I take upon myself. Because that's what happened when you cut covenant. When a millionaire cuts covenant with a debtor or a guy that's in big trouble and financially, then when you cut covenant, the millionaire is saying, all my millions are yours. And the debtor says, well, all my debts are now yours. That's a new word. They'll put in the dictionary next year. But God was too good for us, so Jesus said, I will. Abraham should have, but he couldn't. He should have walked the pieces, but he couldn't. And the point being is, none of us are good enough for covenant with God. None of us are good enough for a covenant relationship with God. That's why God made Abraham sleep and say, you just get out of the way. I'm going to do this for all of humanity, and nobody's going to stop me. And so he did. And so Jesus steps in for us. God made a covenant with himself. And Jesus by an oath. You see, Jesus is eternal. So he could manifest in the Old Testament. There's lots of places in the Old Testament where Jesus appeared. Lots of places called the angel with the capital A, the angel. Like, I'm going to make sense in a moment if it doesn't make sense yet. Hebrews 10, verse 12 to 14 says the following. Speaks about what Jesus did. This is all pointing to Jesus, the blood. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Okay, let me explain then. You see, when you cut covenant, it says all your debts becomes the other ones, the stronger ones. Do you know that you and I have debts? Sin. Every time you do wrong, it's added to your sin account. You have debt, and you have to go pay it. Unless somebody said, I'm going to pay it for them. Covenant. You must get this. Covenant. He took it all upon himself. So, through faith. So let me give you, I'm going to stand back a moment again, give you a bit of a breather again. So Abraham, God cut covenant with God. not with you and me in a certain sense, because it wasn't Abram walking the eight. How do you and I then, if God actually walked with God, how do you and I partake of the fullness and the blessing of God? It is through faith in Jesus Christ. It is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is really important for you to get. So how do you and I partake of the covenant promises of God? It is through faith in Jesus Christ, or trust in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus stood in there for us. Now look at this. I'm going to look at the other parts. So the first three is the cloak, all that I am, I give to you. The second part is the belt, that is all of my weapons, all of my strength is available to you. The third one is we actually walk through the animals and we lay down our lives. The fourth one is we exchange names. There's a name exchange. I take your last name, you take my last name. Do you know what happened with you and me? Jesus became the Son of Man. And you and I become sons and daughters of God. Name change. And then there are the covenant terms. And that's all my assets are yours and all yours are mine. The debtor thing, etc. And then there's a memorial meal. That's all part of the covenant process. That is when we take bread and we take wine. And the bread and the wine is symbolic of when I break this bread, when you eat this bread, I become a part of you and you become a part of me. When you drink this, my lifeblood becomes your lifeblood. Your lifeblood becomes my lifeblood. We become one. And then we plant a tree. We plant a tree and we sprinkle blood on it. The memorial meal, Jesus did that on his last, just before he was crucified, the night before. He said, this is my blood. This is my body. And then Jesus went and he planted a tree and he hung on the cross and he sprinkled blood, rivers of it, on that tree. And he took the scars on his hands and his feet, and he still has them today in heaven. Those, the people that have had near-death experiences and were resuscitated, came back, they say sometimes they saw the scars on their hands and the feet as they saw Jesus in heaven. Covenant. This is what God went through. He gave the promise, but then he added to the promise his blood. And when you and I say, God, I am too small, I am sinful, I am not good enough, I have got nothing to offer, I should go sleep, when it comes to the things of God, in a certain sense, and get out of the way. But Lord, I place my trust in Jesus. He is my mediator. He's the one that stood in for me because of my trust in Christ. This is the key. If you trust in Jesus, all of those covenant promises becomes yours. All of God's provision, all of his strength, all of his goodness, himself being your reward. When we trust in Jesus, we enter. And Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame by the blood, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. And they did not love their lives to the death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb through their trust in what Jesus has done. And so every promise in this book, every promise, Old Testament, New Testament, every single promise God has sealed with his own blood. He said, so be done to me, cut in two, if I shall not have these words fulfilled. I have made an oath till my death. And as you know, God shall never die for all of eternity. The promises shall stand. So we can trust the promise, but the opening of the door to the promise is the blood. Our trust in the blood. Our trust in the cross. Our trust in what God has done. Last scripture, ending off. Hebrews 10, verse 19 to 23. It says, therefore, brethren. This is now the therefore. This is, you can read the previous chapters there. It speaks about the promise. Last week I spoke about the promise being the anchor. And now it goes on and it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He took our debts. He paid it. I don't know what you're struggling with, or maybe you feel condemned or guilty of the sin in your life. Jesus has paid the price if you just trust in Him. It is just through receiving it with your whole heart, and He cleanses you and washes you. To enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil that is His flesh. When Jesus hung on the cross, when he died physically, the veil was torn in the sanctuary where traditionally, where the presence of God was, and the presence of God was released. So it is saying now you and I can boldly come to God. Boldly come to God by His blood, by the payment price. And it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. I want to read this bit to you. In Hebrews 11:11, this is not on the screen. This is where Sarah spoke of the promise, and she said, she found the one who promised to be reliable, trustworthy, and true to His word. Reliable, trustworthy, and true to His word. And so we can trust in the promises of God because of the blood. We can trust. The door has been opened. The veil has been torn. And you and I can step into the presence of God by the blood of the Lamb. And when we step in, we can know. When we trust in Christ, we can know that God has cut covenant with me. Wherever I go, I know all of God's strength is there with me if I trust in Him. Wherever, whatever I need, I can know God has already provided for it. I can just trust in Him. He has cut a covenant with me. And so we can trust. He has proven Himself to us. We're just going to have communion now, or a memorial meal. The memorial meal is the bread and the wine, reminding us of the covenant, reminding us of the oath, reminding us of the commitment that God has made for us. Nothing cleanses like the blood of Jesus. This the one guy said, there are lots of people dirty in the world. Although we do have soap, don't we? But they've not applied it. And it's the same with the blood. Lots of people are still in their sins. Lots of people are still struggling with the guilt and the condemnation because they've not applied the blood. They've not made the blood. You guys can start. They've not applied the blood to themselves. So I'm laying a foundation for next week, what I actually want to get into. And so I took a bit of a curve here for you to explain to you the 6-7 different aspects of a covenant. But the whole Old Testament, you can see all these promises, prophecies, things that were done that were pointing to what Jesus would do one day. So we're just going to do a song while we're handing out. Take some of the drink, just hold it with you. Take some of the bread and just hold it in your hands. As we're handing out, just let's just sing that together.
Jesus' blood fills me. Jesus' blood fills me. Jesus.
Is a memorial meal. Jesus said, remember me. Remember me. Remember what I did for you. Remember. So in a sense, we are saying, God, we're putting our faith, we're putting our trust in what you have done. I would say probably the greatest revelations or truths that have changed my life was when I came to the point where I came to realize the power in the blood of Jesus. The power to cleanse us, the power to heal us, the power to restore us, the power to take away all our sins. It's through the blood of Christ that we access all of God. It opens the door. We must come by the blood. You can never come empty-handed to God. You cannot come empty-handed to God. You must bring a sacrifice. Sacrifices yourself, but you come by the blood. You come by the blood. Father, we thank you that your blood never fails us. We thank you, Lord God, that in the days and weeks to come, that you'll come and reveal to us the power of your blood. That there is nothing that we can earn, nothing that we can do to earn anything in your kingdom. It is grace through the blood of Jesus. It is through the blood of Christ. Lord, even on the Passover, Lord, as the blood was on the doorposts, when death came, death had to pass over. It had to leave because it saw the blood. And so, Lord, this day, we thank you, Jesus, that 4,000 years ago, you stepped in on behalf of Abram and all of mankind. And you made an oath to your heavenly Father And you said, Father, I'll do it. I'll open the door for them. I'll open it for these sinful, sometimes so weak, small, insignificant. But God, I love them. Father, I love them so much. I'm willing to give myself so that they can be cleansed, so they can be restored, so they can be made perfect. And thank you, Lord God, that this day, when we come before you, we come perfect. Although we're small and sinful and make mistakes, in your sight, you just see the blood. You just see the blood. And you said, I will not remember their sins again. I will not remember it. And Lord, I thank you, God, that it doesn't matter what we have done, any single one of us, as we humble ourselves, as we come and give our lives to you, as we confess our sins before you, you remove it from us as far as the east is from the west, and you forget it. You forget it. You forget it. And so should we. So Lord, we pray for each one of us here to just let those sins be washed away. Wash it away, Lord. Just where you're sitting, just thank him for his blood. Thank him for the price he's paid. He's paid your debt. The debt you owed, he's taken it away. He's taken it away. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. And it never fails. And there's no sin too bad. All sin, past, present, future, if we would just trust in you. Thank him for his blood. Father, we thank you for your promise. You said this year will be a year of grace. We trust in that promise. And we apply the blood of Jesus Christ today to our hearts, to our families. Lord, to every day of this year, 365 days minus 10, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ over every day. Lord, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ over our finances, and we declare, the thief will not come to steal. The devourer will not come to devour, because the blood covers. Lord, we pray that the blood will cover our physical health. And we thank you, Lord, for the blood that covers us against sickness, disease, cancer, or any other form of sickness, germ, anything like that, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, by faith, by our trust in your promise, apply the blood to our lives. Just take a moment and just apply the blood in different areas of your life, your work, your physical health, family, friends. Just speak it. Just softly, just speak it. Speak the protection of God. Speak the blessing of God. It is the access point. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody physically sick, Would you maybe just stand where you are? We just want to pray for you. I just felt in my heart, we just pray for physical healing. Anybody, just stand where you are, and we're just going to trust the Lord for healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we access your grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, those standing now, God, we bring them before you. And Lord, even as the centurion who came to you on behalf of his servant, and the centurion spoke to you and said to you, Lord, just speak the word and he will be healed. And Jesus was amazed with his faith. And so, Lord, this evening we just speak. We speak the word that by the blood of Jesus Christ, health, healing, restoration will flow to you right now. Lord, we apply the blood over their physical bodies. Lord, you created heaven and earth. Everything that we see, you can heal a physical body. And you said, by your stripes we are healed. And so, Lord, we declare it, by your stripes, by your blood, we are healed. In the name of Jesus, in the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Your word says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to the death. We overcome by your blood. Let's all stand, if you're so kind to stand with me. We're going to take off the communion elements now. Lord, we pray for a river of blood, a river of life, Christ's blood, just to flow through our lives. That brings life. That brings life. That brings life. And Lord, as we're going to partake of this, which symbolizes your blood, we pray for new life to every spirit, every heart here in the name of Jesus. If there was sin, Lord, wash it away. We, by faith, Lord, as we partake of this, we receive the true blood of Christ in Jesus' name. Let's drink together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body that was broken. Thank you, Lord, as we partake of this bread, we are saying, everything of us in you, in Christ. Lord, as we give, in a sense, a covenant meal, as we give you this bread, we become one with you. As we take your bread, we become one with you. Let's eat together. Thank you, Lord. By faith, we can declare that we are now in Christ. By the provision that you have made, we are in you and you are in us. And we are safe in the secret place of the Most High God. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Let's just sing that Jesus' blood never fails me. Just apply the blood. Just trust in the blood.
Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood never fails me. Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood.
Love.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we walk in a covenant relationship with you through our trust in Jesus Christ. All of you available for us as we surrender all of us to you. So, Father, we speak your blessing upon each one of us as we go, Lord. Speak your blessing. And may your grace go with us, your presence cover us, surround us. Just feel my heart. If you can just close our eyes just for a moment. Just want to be obedient. If there's anybody here and you know that you need to recommit your life to God, you know your relationship with the Lord is not in place, everything isn't right, you're walking your own road, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. If you know you need to make right with God, would you be so bold just to raise your hand where you're standing and just to say, Lord, God, I need to give my life to you. As every eye is closed, believers just praying. If you're convicted that your life isn't right with the Lord and you want to surrender your life to God, just raise your hand. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? I just want to give this opportunity. I just want to be obedient to the Lord. Anybody else? Father, bless your name. Thank you. You can drop your hands again. If those that raise their hands, if you can maybe afterwards just come and speak to me. Or one of us here in front, I just want to pray with you. Then I'd appreciate that. Father, thank you for a wonderful evening. Thank you for your presence that goes with us in Jesus' name. Amen.